Matthew chapter 18, let's go there tonight. Matthew chapter number 18, how Christ viewed children, how Christ viewed children. I guess I've preached from this portion of Scripture many times here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Not always the same exact message, but a truth that I want to keep in front of our congregation. And I think it's one of the reasons that God has blessed Blessed Hope Baptist Church through the years, because we need to have the same view of children as Jesus had. We need to have the same mindset towards children that Jesus had. Matthew 18, verse 1, let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Matthew 18, 1, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a little child unto him, set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offenses cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Heavenly Father, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us. Lord, we're going to look at the Scriptures. We want to rightly divide the Word of God. Well, what a wonderful thing that you've included in the Bible, in the Gospels, some interaction between Jesus and children. And Lord, if the ultimate goal is to be like Jesus, then we can certainly learn from Jesus. And Lord, we can have a more biblical, Christ-like view of children. So I pray that this is a help to our church. Thank you for giving me the honor, the privilege of pastoring a church where children are loved and they're cared for and they're prayed for. Thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, help us to even do a better job of all those things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated. In Philippians 2, chapter 15, God presents to each of us a challenge. By the way, this is a high challenge. It's a noble challenge. The verse reads thus, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now think about that. What we are instructed to do is to learn how Jesus thinks. Watch this. Then change our thinking to match his. We are to so study, so learn, so examine, so mimic the thinking patterns of Jesus Christ that soon we operate on his philosophies, not the philosophies of the culture, not the philosophies of the world, but we operate on his philosophies. We soon view life from his perspective, and we eventually align our priorities based on what he thinks is important, not what the world tells us is so important. One of the most interesting studies as we study the life of Christ is to conduct a study on the parts of the Bible that deals with Christ's mindset towards children. In Matthew chapter 18, we can see very specifically how Christ viewed the lambs of his flock. We see Christ trying to teach his disciples to view children properly. Now, he's going to train them. He's going to enlist them. He's going to send them into the ministry, and one of the most important things for them to get right in their minds as they go out to reach the world for Jesus Christ is, I want you to view children the way I view children. And so think about that as we go down through this scripture, because this evening we want to examine this portion of scripture so that as a church, we view children as Christ views children. Let me give you some observations, some things from this portion of Scripture. Number one, folks, let's not forget that Jesus came into this world as a child, right, as a baby. You know, he came to die for the sins of mankind. So, you know what? God could have chosen to send Jesus down at 30 years of age as a mature man. Come on, he could have brought him down on a chariot of fire and dropped him off in the wilderness alongside John the Baptist, and they could have walked out together. But God did not choose to do that. Now think about that. Wonder why. All through the Scriptures, we see Jesus referred to as a child. Matthew 1:18, talking about Mary. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Matthew 1:23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. Matthew 2:8, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go search diligently for the young child. Matthew 2:9, when they heard the king, they departed. Lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Matthew 2:11, 2:13, 2:14, Matthew 2:20, Matthew 2:21, Luke 2:4, how about this? And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now that God made this part of the plan for Jesus Christ. Jesus chose to come to this earth as a child. Okay, he could have come down upon a glory cloud in full-blown adulthood. He could have arrived as a 30-year-old walking out of the desert straight into his earthly ministry. But no, he spent 30 silent years doing something more important. He spent those years, listen to the Bible phrase, being touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Okay, Hebrews 4:15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now let's stop and say that. Preacher, we know this. Yeah, but I think it'll lay a good foundation. Jesus, let's not forget, was an infant. Think about that. Jesus was swaddled, okay? Jesus learned to walk. Jesus was 1-year-old, then 2-year-old, then 3-year-old, then 4-year-old. He experienced adolescence, then young manhood. He was 11 and 12 and 13 and 14. I want to say that to all the young people in our church, because listen to me, I want you to really get this, okay? Jesus can relate to where you're at right now in your life. And he chose to do this part of God's will. And I think, folks, something we can learn from that is this. One of the greatest secrets, I believe, of great children's workers is this: the ability to remember what it was like to be a child. I think that's one of the traits of the most effective children's ministry workers, is that they have not forgotten what it's like to be a child. Now, folks, maturity requires us to put away childish things. Would you agree that the Bible teaches that? But maturity should never put away childhood memories. That's two different things. Maturity should never lose the compassion and empathy needed to properly minister to children. And so, hey, all of us adults, come on, from time to time we need to remember some things. Growing up wasn't easy, okay? And you remember to pray for these children. Some of these young people that go into junior high, those are not easy years. Come on, some of you can remember back. Teenage years are not easy years, when the devil seems like he just specially targets young people and he knows how close they are getting to adulthood. And so, listen, we can sit around and be hypercritical about this next generation, or we could understand they're facing an onslaught of things that our generation didn't have to face. They don't need our criticism, they need our prayers. And they need our love. And they need our compassion and understanding. They need to know that they're in a church that cares about them. So Jesus, first of all, never forgot what it was like to be a child. And I'm glad that God, part of God's will, was that he come as a little baby. Number two, in this portion of Scripture, Jesus elevated children as the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I mentioned a minute ago, you know, senior saints, adults, young adults, teenagers, greatest in the kingdom of heaven is children. You know, I know that this is, okay, but think about it. Stick with me for a minute. I'm going somewhere, right? But, you know, human babies are not like most of the babies that are born into this creation. Okay, you think about, I watch them little fawns that the does have, you know, in the spring, and they are very delicate, and they need mama, but you find them a year from now, and you know what? They're out on their own. Okay, the baby birds. You know, mama needs to set on the eggs and keep them warm, and she needs to go get their food for a little bit of time, but it's not long, and you go back and check the nest, and the birds are gone. They're on their own. And you think about how differently God created us, and the length of time, and the period of helplessness that a little child has. And so, folks, that means that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are not like the rest of creation. And it takes, you know, Hillary Clinton wanted to convince everybody it takes a village. I don't think it takes a village. I think it takes a family, and I think it takes a church. That's what it takes. And that's what God has provided for us. And so he elevated children as the greatest in the kingdom of God. Now, if we're going to adopt a Christian or a Christ-like view of children, then here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we need to understand that ministering to children is our top, capital T, capital O, capital P, our top priority. And you know, folks, a lot of churches will give lip service to investing in the next generation. But I always say, you know what, go to that church and follow the money. And what we need to do here, and you think about how much of what you give is an investment in the next generation. And it ought to be that. So parents, let me speak to you. If you're going to adopt a Christian view of your children, then you need to understand that they ought to be your greatest priority. Did you hear what I said? Dad, your hobby should not be more important than your children. Come on, mom. Your cell phone and social media should not be more important and get more attention than your children. One of the greatest pieces of advice I can give you is this. Do not let serving the Lord separate you from your children. Now, folks, I understand that there's times that we as adults serve the Lord and we can't always include our children. But I want to quickly say this. There's a lot of ways that you can serve the Lord and include your entire family. I got to thinking about the ministries here and how many times through the years we've seen a nursing home just be adopted by a family from Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You say, preacher, you know, we've got a family. We'd like to have an opportunity to serve with our children somewhere. We've got nursing homes right now that we need to send people into and start nursing home ministries. And that's a great opportunity. I'm going to tell you, you want to impact people for Christ. You just bring children into a nursing home. And there's just something supernatural that happens when those elderly people look down the hallway and here comes children. You just watch their eyes. And it opens so many doors. I think about the bus routes here for the most part through the history of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. They've been a family ministries where mom, dad, and children have just said, hey, this is what God's going to lead us to do. And we're going to take this bus route. And we're going to serve together. And folks, even soul winning, I will tell you, if you want to have more success, come on, less people get mad at you and less people slam your face, then bring your children with you. I think there's something very powerful about a husband-wife team going soul winning. There just is. Because I'll tell you, if you get a couple that's got a sweet marriage and they're out there witnessing for Christ together, the world does not see that. But watch this, the world wants that. And you may have as much impact with them watching you come to the door and watching you walk to the next door as you did in anything that you said. And all of a sudden they look down and say, you know, well, if going to this church, I could maybe figure out how to do that or have that. Are you listening to me? I mean, children open doors. They'll open doors for you. I remember, you know, I've always got this kind of plan when every once in a while Jehovah Witnesses will come by my door, you know. So I've done this a lot of years, and I got a plan, you know. I got a plan on what to say to them. I got a plan on not taking the material. I got a plan. I've got verses to give them. And you know, I'm ready. And here, you know, several years ago, I heard a knock at the door, and I walked over, and there was a lady sitting there, and she had a little girl, cutest little thing. And I said, hello, how are you? And the little girl says, hello. And you know, now I'm just grandpa, you know. And she said, I'd like for you to take this. And I said, okay, sure. And next thing you know, I was studying with the Jehovah Witnesses. I didn't mean to. I didn't want to. No, it didn't go that far. But then I take the material, and she waves the cutest little wave, and I watch them go to their car, and I looked out, you little stinker. You know, that little kid got me. That little kid got me. And so, but there is something about children just open it. open it. And I want to say to parents, and I want to say to our church, hey, let's not leave the kids behind. Let's not leave them in the dust, okay? Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And God says, if you can't get that done, this earth is going to be cursed. And a lot of the curses come upon this earth is because daddies are not turning their heart to their children. And children, listen to me. I'm sorry, but it's not all dad's responsibility in this verse. Okay? I mean, David wrote to his son Solomon, my son, give me thine heart. And if somebody has stolen your heart away from your father and starved your heart away from your parents, I'm going to tell you something. That is not somebody that you ought to be near or around or let have any influence in your life. And so, number two, Christ elevated children as the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Number three, Christ believed that children could and should be converted. Now look, if you will, in verse number 3 and 4. And said, Jesus is talking here, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, I want to make a public proclamation. Children can and should be won to Christ on a regular basis here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And if they're not, then we're not doing our job. Okay? And it's not that children need to become more adult-like in order to be saved. Adults need to become more childlike in their faith and their trust and their acceptance of the truth. And so don't get that confused, you know. Sometimes in VBS, this happened years ago, and she's no longer in the church, and so you wouldn't know who I'm talking about. But one of the altar workers at VBS, I would be up here, and I think it was me and Brother Denny at that time, and every time I'd send a child to this certain lady, I'd look up, and she'd send them to their seat. And so I'd send another child to a lady. I'm already vetting them. And I'm sending them, and next thing I know, she's sending them back to their seat. And finally, I cornered her and I said, every child I send to you, you're not opening the scripture, you're not dealing with. Well, I ask them some questions and I don't think they understand. Come to find out what her problem was, she did not believe that children could be saved. And so I removed her immediately. And if you have that opinion, then I don't want you in children's ministries. Okay? Because you could stand before God with blood on your hands. Okay, come on. God made the gospel simple enough. You're listening to a preacher that was saved at 5 years of age. Don't tell me children can't be saved, okay? So we got to be careful. If we're not careful, we get on the internet and then we get real stupid because we're listening to stuff. D.L. Moody came back from soul winning. One of the students there, Moody Institute, said, Brother Moody, did you see anyone saved? He said, 1.5. And the man said, so did you see an adult and a child saved? No, he said, I saw a child and an adult saved. You see, the one is the child, not the half is the child. Because a young person that's saved at an early age has a chance to give their whole life to Christ. An adult that gets saved later on, thank God they got saved, but they're the half, they're not the one. Think about that. Children must become adults to be saved. Wow, I think this verse teaches us the opposite. And so, you know, as we do our children's ministries here. And I'm going to stop several times and say this. Thank you. Thank you for every one of you that holds a Bible in front of children. What a sacred responsibility. Sunday school teachers, listen to me. Don't half do it and don't go in half prepared. Okay? If I had you speak the entire congregation, I think you would labor over what you were going to say. And you'd want to be so right and get it so right. Well, listen to me, folks. This isn't the greatest. Down in these Sunday school rooms is the greatest. Thank you, primary church workers, and those of you that teach them, junior church workers. We've now got 5th and 6th grade church, and that's been such an effective and important ministry to really help us to transition those kids from children's church into the youth group and not lose them during. It's been great, folks. But thank you, bus workers, for going out there and caring about these kids. And got a note just recently from little Stephanie Studer up there just thanking her preacher and her preacher's wife. You know, my wife led her to the Lord at an altar right over here, 3rd Sunday that she came on a bus. Now she's a pastor's wife, an assistant pastor's wife. And folks, you know, I understand. Not all these kids are going to stay with it. Not all these kids are going to get saved. And if they do, not all these kids may not end up in church as much as we wish. But all of them that got saved is going to be in heaven one of these days. They're all going to be in heaven one of these days. And so think about that. Wow. Number four, Christ views every kindness towards a child as a kindness shown to him. Look at verse number 5. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth who? Receiveth me. So Jesus basically saying, when you receive them, you receive me. You know, think about this. He talks in a different part of the scripture about taking a glass of water and giving it to a little child. And that's like giving him that glass of water. And folks, one of the things I want you to remember this, every person in this church that invests in children every week, listen to what I'm going to say. Christ puts on your account as a personal kindness shown to him. I don't know about you, but that makes me want to slow down. That makes me want to look around. That makes me want to, when a little child needs my attention, to get down on one knee where I can look him in the eye and really listen to him and really take a moment and interact with them and say the right things to them and be a blessing to them. And I want to say this. Our teenagers, as soon as they get into seventh grade, they get involved in children's ministries. And young people, we do that very, very, very purposefully because, listen, you need to develop a love and a heart for children. And I mean that. I know sometimes young men, it's a little harder for you to transition into that. And they're just kids. And sometimes they're, no, that's not a Christ view. They're not annoying. They're precious. And you need to learn how to be kind to young people and kind to these younger kids. Come on, don't always pick on them. Don't always make fun of them. And by the way, nobody ought to bully somebody littler than them. That is not a sign of strength. All that tells me is that you're weak. You know, real men protect people that are weaker than them. Little boys that are trying to be men and don't understand what that means, they use their strength to demean or to demoralize those littler than them. That's not the Christian way. You'll never find Jesus doing that. And so every person that invests in children at Blessed Little Baptist Church, God puts it on your account as a personal kindness that you showed to him. I mentioned VBS, but folks, VBS week is amazing. Just sit around and watch. And I always think at the end of every VBS week, you know, everybody that baked a cookie, everybody that provided refreshments, every teacher, every helper, every nursery worker, you know, all the boys in the skits that allowed themselves to be rebaptized every year. You know, all the silliness and the antics. Why do we do all those things? You know, we do it because we're ministering to children. You think about that. Everybody that worked the extra mile to bring somebody on a bus or take a car by and pick up just a few children out of a house that where they're not taking the church. Hey, I used to be in that house. Okay, I wasn't born into a family that went to church. I wasn't born into a parents that were saved. Now, thankfully, they got saved when I was still 5 years of age, but I'm glad somebody looked across and seen a bunch of kids running all over the backyard and the front yard and climbing trees and getting in trouble. And I'm glad some Christians looked across and said, we need to get them children to Christ. We need to get that family to Jesus. You say, well, preacher, I'll be honest with you. I don't like children. Look right up here. You got a problem. No, you got a problem. You got a heart problem. Okay, you didn't get that mindset from Jesus Christ. Some I've heard people say, I hate kids. You know what I say to them? Well, congratulations, so does the devil. So you and the devil have something in common. Come on, what a wicked thing to say. You know what you're saying? You're saying, I'm selfish. Okay, I'm too important to be bothered by them. No, that's not, come on, shame on us. Shame on us if that's the way we think. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so Christ views every kindness towards a child as a kindness shown to himself. By the way, I'm going to go ahead and finish down through this portion. Christ promises judgment upon those who lead children astray or cause them to stumble. That's what the word offend means. It means to lead astray or to cause one to stumble. But if you look in verse 6, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Whoa, what? Wow. Think about that. You know what, folks? We have several states in our country right now that are in the process of trying to pass legislation that would cause people that abuse children, I'm talking about sexually exploit or abuse children, to receive the death penalty. What do you say to that, preacher? Amen. Amen. I mean, come on, for almost 40 years of preaching and ministry, I've stood behind pulpits and said that very thing, that I believe that those that were do such heinous things to children, they ought to be put to death. Well, where do you get this? Well, I'm just mean. No, I get it from Jesus Christ. And people would say, well, that doesn't sound very Christ-like. It's because you don't understand Jesus. You've not studied Jesus Christ. So many things about Christ. I kind of hit that this morning a little bit at Brother Claney's. But listen, the devil has tried to portray Christ to the world in a way that he's not portrayed in the Bible. First of all, they try to portray him as being a very effeminate. And Jesus was not effeminate. How do you know that? Well, he went to school till he was 12 years of age, trained in the synagogue and at home. And then, you know what happened? He also then, at 12 years of age, think about this young man, 12 years of age, got to quit school, put on a tool belt. Are you happy? Are you thinking about this? And went to work with his earthly father figure, Joseph. And you know what? He learned a trade skill. And he went to work. Now, think about that. It means from 12 years of age till 30 years of age, he worked as a carpenter. At first, a carpenter's apprentice, and then later on as a carpenter. And listen to me, men that have been in construction. When it was time to cut a board, he didn't plug in the skill saw. Now, you do carpentry work without electricity. I remember old Jack Fry. You remember Jack Fry? Brother Don Jack Fry that used to come to our church. He was just an old time. Y'all remember, how many remember Jack Fry? It'd be the old timers that remember Jack Fry. But Jack Fry was a carpenter for all of his life. And I mean, I'm talking about starting back in the 50s and 60s. And then he came to our church here in the 70s and was saved. And man, he'd walk back into that back foyer. And as a teenage boy, I liked him. I liked hanging around him. And I'd walk up and shake his hand. And the guy was just like this, man. And he'd reach out and grab my hand. And I mean, old callous hand. Come on, an old callous hand. And he'd give me that man shake, handshake. You better be ready for it or you were going to go to the hospital and have bones repaired in your hand. And he'd give me that man's handshake. How you doing, son? And all this stuff. And you know why? You know why he had those Popeye arms? Okay, because he was an old-time carpenter. Now, what I'm saying is this. Don't you let the world convince you, young men, that if you're going to be like Jesus, you're going to be this effeminate. You know, and another thing, let's go on down this road a little bit. But a lot of men are turned off about wanting to be like Jesus because of one statement he made where he said that we should turn the other cheek. And that's all they know. And you know what? I've gotten to the point where I tell them, well, there's a time where he taught us that it's right to turn the other cheek, and there's times when he turned over tables. And he was capable of both. And by the way, as a man, there's times to turn the other cheek and there's time to turn over tables. What we need to do is study both of those stories and figure out when the time is that it's right to turn the other cheek and when it's time to stand up sometimes and turn over tables. But they've got this effeminate, you know, if a preacher gets mad and really preaches hard, then they'll walk out and say, well, I just don't feel like he was very much like Jesus today. Have you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? I mean, I don't remember. Maybe I did recently, but I don't remember calling anybody out as a whited sepulcher in the service. You know, looking y'all in the eye and calling you hypocrites. Jesus did it. Now, by the way, he did that when it was inappropriate, when that crowd needed it. But he also walked over when a bunch of them wanted to stone a woman taken in adultery and said, all right, you hot shots. You pick up, you that are without sin, you go ahead and throw the first stone. and then watch all of them drop them. Well, he was soft on saying, no, he wasn't. He said, hey, where's your accusers? They're not here. He said, well, neither do I condemn thee. Go and. So he wasn't okay in sin. But, you know, folks, what we have to understand as a man, you know what? Well, you got to learn to balance Christian life. And there's time to exercise biblical masculinity. And part of biblical masculinity is also to know when to, in a compassionate way, and help people and protect people. But Jesus, you know, when we read this, this is part of the Bible they don't seem to understand. When you read this to the world, they just kind of like, well, that doesn't sound very Christ-like. It was Jesus who said it, so it's Christ-like. Amen. Years ago, I wrote an article for our Lenten paper. Boy, that was back in the day. I started out writing an article every single week for the Lenten paper. Beth Clark, okay, our old mayor, Brother Clark, is it Norman? Norman Clark? Norman Clark. His daughter worked at the paper, and she oversaw the religious page, and she was a born-again Christian. And she asked me to start writing a weekly article, and I said, I don't think it's going to work. She said, whatever you write, I'll print. I said, all right, well, we'll test that out. And she did. And thank God there wasn't internet and comments back then where people could go and comment after it. But, you know, one of the articles, come on, folks, this is back when preachers used to be in the papers. Now we're not even allowed in the paper. Would you like to steal that? Yeah. Would they let you? Not in a million years. I've tried. They will not. They don't want the voice of reason. They don't want a scriptural perspective or conservative perspective on anything. You know, so that's why I quit subscribing. And I would tell everyone listening, bankrupt that paper, okay? But this is an article I wrote. Here was the title of it. Maybe it's time for some millstone justice. This would have been back in the middle 90s, folks. Of late, I dread picking up the newspaper or turning on the morning news. The children of our nation are under assault. Stories of child molestation, incest, and abuse are no longer a rarity, but daily fare. Some children have literally been taken out of their homes, out of their beds, by six subhuman predators. You remember that story where somebody came in and got that little girl over in Utah and took her out in the middle of the night? I wrote this right after that. Their innocent bodies are found days later, discarded in patches of forest and vacant lots, thrown away like a piece of garbage after some pervert has tortured, terrorized, and taken their life. It's time we listen to Christ. It's time for some millstone justice. And then I quote the scripture I just read to you. Whoso receive one such little child, my name receiveth me. Whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Then I wrote this. Liberals have slandered a view of Jesus Christ. They only care to talk about him as the meek and lowly Savior of the world. They forget that he is also the Lion of the tribe of Judah. They love to preach on the Beatitudes, but shy away from the many times he spoke of hell, hypocrisy, and coming judgment. Passages like this seem almost anti-Christian to liberals. While it is true that Christ often displayed mercy and compassion, he was also capable of firm denouncement and swift judgment. The words above, copied from the book of Matthew, are Christ's words. Read the chapter. He brought a little child and set him in the midst of the people and taught them some things about children and some things about themselves. He also issued a warning. A warning to those who would mistreat or misuse one of these little ones. I think it's time to take his warning seriously. It's time for the American justice system to stop slapping the hand of child molesters and then turning them free to search for another victim. Maybe it's time to start emptying the jails and loading up the boats. Maybe it's time to invest in some short pieces of rope and a couple of 100 millstones. Maybe it's time to head out to the deepest part of the sea. Maybe it's time to make a loud and clear statement. We are not going to stand by and watch our children ravaged. You may think this solution a bit harsh. I don't. I think our children deserve to be protected, and those who victimize them deserve to be punished. By the way, so did the meek and lowly Jesus. Now, folks, it used to be preachers could put stuff like that in the paper. And by the way, Christians in this rural community, I would go everywhere in the following weeks and be stopped by people saying, thank God someone's finally saying that. And I think that there's a lot of people in this area that still believe that type of thing. But our voices are no longer allowed to be heard. And so, folks, we've got to stand up for our children. We've got to protect children. We've got to watch care over our children. This, parents, I know you know this, and I know I'm at the grandpa phase, which means I'm probably too overprotective, you know. I won't even let my daughters in my presence hand them a hot dog. I mean, they could choke to death. So they hand them a hot dog, and I used to hand my kids hot dogs. But that's back when I was stupid, and I'm not stupid anymore. And so I take them, and I take a knife, and I cut them into little pieces for them because I'm trying to save my children's lives. And my daughters don't seem to care anyway, but and I guess I didn't used to care either. But I know you can get overprotective when you're older, but just listen to your preacher and let me be a little overprotective. Listen, this isn't the world you grew up in, parents, even that you grew up in. And it's certainly not the world I grew up in. And we have to be a lot more careful and have more watch care over our children and what we allow them to do and where we allow them to go than we used to have to. Boy, I hate to have to say that. Remember everybody my age and probably even younger, and we'd get up in the morning, eat breakfast in the summertime, jump on our bikes, and my mom and dad had no idea where we were. You know, out north of Brazil, Indiana, and Clay County, we'd ride all over the place and look for pop bottles and then gather them up and then take them down to the corner store and cash them in for 3 cents each. Take 25, 30 minutes picking out candy and driving that poor old guy crazy. And so, well, your parents must have been irresponsible. No, we had parents everywhere. I could pull something 2 miles from home, and before I got home, that lady called on the phone that watched me out her window. I've had ladies come out and spank me. And then me go home and my mom waiting to spank me again. By the way, we raised some decent people back in those days. Amen. But you know what? Everybody, think about it. Everybody watched out for the kids. Everybody watched out for the kids. No matter whose kids it was. And they needed a swatting, they got a swatting. But also, they'd be the first ones to die for those children. And so we need to get back to a Christ view of children. Well, what a precious night. I've sure enjoyed this. I mean this. And we want to continue to pray for the parents that we honored and these little children that we recognize tonight. But folks, not just our newest ones. All of these kids around here. Every one of them. Just get in the habit of just standing around your church. If you watch one of them chasing another one by, would you just whisper their name out? Oh, God, please. Take care of them. Watch over them. Help them to grow up and get saved as soon as possible. Help them to serve you with all of their heart.